from the WEEI studios. 93.7 WEEI FM and HD1. Lawrence, Boston. And Odyssey Sports Station.
The Rich Keefe Show with Fitzy here on WEEI. You can join us at 617-779-7937. Bruins and Leafs tied at 2 after 2 in Game 2. Celtics off until Wednesday night. Red Sox off today as well. They open up a series with the Guardians in Cleveland tomorrow. And, of course, the NFL Draft, 2 days, 22 hours, 56 minutes, and 57 seconds from right now. This offseason has not gone great for Robert Kraft, I think is a fair way of putting it.
You don't say.
A lot of things have not been great. The public perception right now is probably at an all-time low, considering I think it's been pretty favorable. I mean, when the team was winning multiple Super Bowls, was in the conversation all the time, had the best quarterback, had the best coach, all that stuff, there wasn't really a whole lot to rip apart, especially when maybe you would look at some of the other owners and in town, I mean, and you had a lot more to complain about. Now, it's been pretty ugly. And I noticed this. Burt Breer wrote about it, SI.com. He had a whole bunch of stuff on the draft. This is sort of buried towards the bottom, but I'm curious your thoughts on this. He said, between the New England Patriots documentary and last week's ESPN story, I'm not sure Robert Kraft's Hall of Fame bid is in the best shape right now. The perception that he's campaigning for it surely doesn't help with voters, especially when you have the option to vote for someone such as Mike Shanahan.
Yeah. That's probably the exact opposite of what Robert Kraft, A, was hoping to hear, and B, I'm going to guess, figured he'd be hearing at this point.
Yeah, I think
I imagine he probably thought, I've made all these capital improvements to my stadium. I lured in the World Cup. I'm coming off of this double dynastic two-decade-long run. I got the documentary series. No other team has gotten that done. I helped broker all these deals. I think league-wide, there may be the latter part, the campaigning thing. Like, you know, they used to campaign heavily in Oscar season, and it worked to a certain degree, having egos stroked. Here in the Billionaires Boys Club and with the Hall of Fame voters, they don't seem to cater. They don't seem to like being catered to in that capacity very
no.
much.
No, and it's funny because I always thought
the wrong way.
Like putting an owner into a Hall of Fame is odd anyway. Like that's sort of a separate conversation. You know, like here's Tom Brady and Jerry Rice and Barry Sanders and Robert Kraft and Jerry Jones. Like, wait, what? Like, it's odd to me, but whatever. I just thought if you were going to have an owner in there, somebody who's won 6 Super Bowls, I feel like that's probably pretty good. So the fact that he hasn't been in yet, and they don't do it like players, like, you don't have to be retired because how, you know, that's not really a thing that owners do.
Mm-hmm.
So he could go in anytime. The fact that he hasn't gone in, and now all you're adding to it thus far is sort of bad season and these little stories and like how, you know, maybe the greatest head coach of all time, how it ended there. And mm-hmm. even there's reports that Bill Belichick is kind of perplexed on how Kraft is handling things and what he's saying about him. And I do think the documentary series is such a big part of this because you remember before the documentary came out, there was a story and it had a lot of anonymous sources in there, but people in the Patriots building. And a few of them were saying like, yeah, this is basically just to help get Robert in the Hall of Fame. Like, that was sort of like, this was going to remind everybody what it was like and how the Patriots almost left and how he did a great job hiring Belichick and keeping the thing together for so long.
But that wasn't, like, the point of the book. The book was...
Right. It was for the documentary, or at least that's what they thought internally.
I heard as much from a lot of people that were not fans of the Dynasty series as well. Like,
it had the opposite effect.
I was so hype, especially early on, and then I had my mixed feelings as the series progressed.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a lot of like DM and, you know, anti-Dynasty clapback on Twitter, like, oh, so you're a big fan of Robert Kraft's bid to be in the Hall of Fame figures.
Well, yeah, it just, you know, at one point, it was you were a Patriots fan and you were a fan of Brady and Belichick, and then Kraft was the owner of the team and everything was going great. And then when things break up, like they do it, and every team, every rock band, essentially, like people end up breaking up. And then from there, people ended up having to like sort of choose sides. Like that's sort of what happened.
And like, are you a Don Henley, a Joe Walsh, or a Glenn Frey guy?
You got to pick one. You can't only possibly like one eagle. You can't like them all. But no, the offseason's been bad. I think the dynasty kind of highlighted some of that because it was so odd that they filmed all of these parts for the documentary while Bill was still the head coach, and then it gets released after he's gone, and so it just felt like a piling on, even though he had already been let go. And then you have some of the Kraft comments, the few times that we've heard from him this offseason, which has been, what, like three different times? If you talk about like Belichick, Mayo, and then the owners thing. So, yeah, it just has not gone good. Like, he needs this Thursday to go so well, and then for the season to, like, hit on that guy, first couple of guys in the draft, and have the team be better. Nobody's expecting them to, you know, have a deep run in the playoffs, but are they going to be a fun watch? Are they going to be an entertaining, fun watch? Because for most of last season, they weren't. And now, like, who do you have? You have nobody else to blame. You can't finger point at Belichick or anybody else.
So how do you, at this point now, how do you start, like, reparation? How do you, is it now just going to have to be, like, yeah, I think last week the ESPN thing is the worst part. And if he, look, Belichick may have earned some of what Kraft had to say to whoever he said it to, whether it was Josh Harris or Arthur Blank or whomever in the Billionaire Boys Club, like whatever. Belichick may have done some things that grated on Kraft and rubbed him the wrong way. Like you said, these titans of industry will eventually chafe on each other when they're together for so long. But it's just been one thing after another at this point. I'm wondering if he's going to try to do more to like undo the negative press and the bad optics that have piled up recently, or if it's just going to be hush season. Like, does someone in the building say, think, like, Mr. K, we just got to, like...
No, less is more. Like, everything you said...
Let your resume speak for itself now. Stop trying, sir.
Yeah, I think so. Like, on the one hand, I think you're kind of damned if you do, damned if you don't, right? John Henry doesn't say a word, and people rip him. They're like, where's the accountability? Where is he? Robert Kraft has spoken a handful of times, like, for an owner. He has spoke a few times, and it's never really gone well for him. And one of those times, too, to me, was talking about Calvin Ridley. Like, I think moving on from Bill, like, that was going to piss off a lot of people. It wasn't going to piss off everyone. We took plenty of calls being like, all right, time is up. Bill's got to go. And there's only one guy that can make that decision, and it was Robert Kraft. So he moves on from him. But then how you handle it after? You blame Bill for not spending a lot, right? The team hasn't spent a lot, like, meaning Robert hasn't spent a lot over the last few years, maybe even the whole time, and that was all on Bill. Then the first time you go after a big-name free agent, you miss out on him, and you say it's because his girlfriend wanted to live in the South. And then Elliot Wolf was asked about why you missed out on Calvin Ridley.
Another team offered more money would be the main thing.
Whoops. So that's the other thing. They haven't been on the same page at all. Gerard Mayo wanted to burn cash. He got called into the principal's office, was told that's not going to happen. Elliot Wolf was like, hey, we might spend, we might save, we might do whatever. Robert Kraft does this whole thing about state taxes, where the girlfriend wanted to live. He said it wasn't about money. Actually, I think the line was like, it's not about finance.
By the way,
it wasn't about finance.
Why does he still say finance?
I think it makes you sound like you have money.
Because it's just sort of like I used to get my chops busted because of, like, where's your mom work? Oh, Feline's.
Feline's.
You mean your mom works at Filene's?
No, Feline's. Feline's.
Feline's.
I feel like if you and I say finance, because there's no money to be had, but if you say finance, it's like, oh, all right.
I'm a finance. Well, because, you know, the thing is, people of that income bracket know financiers. You don't call them financiers. You call them financiers.
Finance. Yeah, that's what it is. So it's just the short version. And so his guy said the Titans offered more money. Because guess what? That's what happened. So to answer your question, like, how does things get better for Robert? Obviously, the team winning games, like, that helps. That cures everything. But in the meantime, I think you have to spend money and prove that you actually will do that. Because one of the things, too, it's not just the Bill bashing, but it's, are you cheaping out on this team? Like, are you going for, like, the cheap way? Are you just trying to turn a profit? Like, everything we accuse John Henry of doing? Is that what you're really doing? You're the one that sat in the seats. You tell us about sitting in the cold seats all the time, and now you're not willing to spend on the team? And so I think say on draft night they trade for AJ Brown or Brandon Ayuk and give them a brand new big deal at the top of the wide receiver market, that helps. Because now one of the things that people could say and sort of dig in on them, you can't use that against them anymore. Like, hey, they're not spending money. Yeah, they are. But right now they haven't done it. They've brought back some of their own guys. Like, okay. Like, you can't have, like, an Oakland A's payroll. They don't allow that in the NFL. So, like, you're going to have to pay some. But I think it's going to be, you know, hit a high pick. And, you know, that's TBD, obviously. We're not going to know if the player's good or not for a little while. But you can make a splash. The Patriots, under Bill Belichick, have made plenty of draft day trades and brought in some big-time players. So I think that would be the first thing to do that would help.
All they need to do now, just bring some good football players to Foxborough.
Yep.
That's it. Mm-hmm. You know, I'll even be able to tell you, like, when I make my first call in to the Rich Key of 6 to Midnight Draft Spectacular Thursday from Gillette Stadium with the fans and everyone there, I'm sure at some point, likely before the draft starts, somebody probably from the draft consortium or the collaborative hive mind of the what were we calling? Oh, the Thunder Buddies.
Oh yeah,
Thunder Buddies. We'll probably take to the stage and speak
another
to the
part
couple
of this offseason. Thunder. The Thunder Buddies.
Heard, if I never hear that again, if Thunder. I never hear Young Thunder again, that'll be a day too soon. But I'll be able to relay to you, like, hey, you know, Mr. K got up and spoke to the fans, and they were largely in favor, or there was this, or like.
Yikes.
That'll be interesting. Or maybe he won't. Maybe it is going to be, you know, lay low season. I don't know.
Yeah, because I know there's been a debate about, you know, Tom Brady night, for example. Like, when Robert Kraft is there, maybe just the vibes are going to be so positive and like, hey, you're celebrating Brady. Like, we're not going to rip apart anybody. But draft night? Like, if he speaks, like, I don't know. In years past, he probably hasn't gotten up there and spoken, right? Or has he?
He has.
Okay.
So, I can tell you, having been a part of two previous Patriots season ticket holder draft parties at the stadium.
Okay.
Belichick used to speak.
Interesting.
I don't know if Matt Groh spoke, Kraft spoke. Like,
I know Groh the last couple of years and like Nick Caserio would be made available to everybody. And I remember we would like play that if we had
yeah,
like, draft
it would go something
whatever.
Like this. Ladies and gentlemen, here's Matt Groh. Hi, and I'm really excited to have this right. Here comes Nick Caserio. Yep. We're very excited about that. And now Coach Bill Belichick. I'm very excited. And you're like, which one was which?
Got a good player in here. Like, okay. But if Robert Kraft speaks, I think there's a good chance that the fans give him the business. I think they definitely give him the business.
I can't imagine with him there on the stage, like, because he won't be but maybe 100 feet from some of the fans. Like, would they actually have the audacity to be like, come on, why'd you do the dynasty?
Bro? All right, actually, okay, so I have a question. How many, like, roughly how many people are there? A
couple thousand.
Yeah, that's close to being enough. Like, if it's a full stadium, easy. Like, you can boo anonymously.
Oh, yeah, and I
easy.
Think the way that
thousand, like, that's
up,
interesting. Yeah, go ahead.
Like, I think the way they have it set up is that they have a bunch in the... They have a bunch up in the Putnam Club, like in the nice 200 seats area. And then now they'll have a bunch of people also watching. I think there may be like multiple stages because the bar beneath the TV in the lighthouse, the TV, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
The world's largest to a single panel television. Mm-hmm. That'll be full of people as well. So there should be a bunch of people that I'm very curious because I know everyone else has gotten a positive response, but I don't believe Mr. K has spoken in proximity.
If they draft Drake May at 3, and then maybe
damn people, straight, he'll be right out there like, we got him!
Yeah, yeah. I think people will be happy at that point. But if they trade down, and people are already mad about the trade down, and then he comes out there to speak, it'll be the combination of, like, what are we doing, and you did Belichick dirty. And then he might hear it a little bit. Not that there's going to be, like, a mutiny, but, like, you could hear a few people. Yeah, but that'll be something to keep an eye and an ear out for. Again, just Thursday night, 6 to midnight right here on WEEI, and we will definitely hear from Fitzy down there at Gillette Stadium, which could be a very, very interesting spot to take in the draft for sure. All right, Keith and Fitzy here on WEEI. We got Grab Bag coming up, and right now here is Stiz with What's Trending.
The Greg Hill Show, weekdays 6 to 10.
Now, here's What's Trending on WEEI.
All right, let's get you caught up with what's trending one last time before we get out of here. Great weekend for Boston sports. Bruins, Celtics, and Red Sox all getting the job done over the weekend. Bruins took game one against the Leafs on Saturday night. They beat them 5-1. Right now, game two going on. 16 minutes left in the third period. We have a tie game. 2-2, Linus Ullmark in the net for your Boston Bruins. Celtics now lead their opening playoff series against the Heat, 1-0 after beating Miami 114-94 yesterday. Jason Tatum had 23 points. Derek White had 20. Kristaps Porzingis with 18. Heat player Caleb Martin told the media today that his hard foul against Tatum wasn't intentional and that momentum had pushed him into Tatum's direction. Game 2 between the Celtics and Heat goes down Wednesday night. Tip-off from Causeway Street at 7 p.m. The Red Sox swept the Pirates out in Pittsburgh over the weekend. Sox will remain on the road for 3 more games against the Guardians, the first of which will be tomorrow night. Tanner Houck expected to take the mound for your Boston Red Sox. First pitch from Progressive Field in Cleveland at 6:10. And the Patriots announced earlier today that they've signed tight end Mitchell Wilcox. Wilcox spent the last 3 seasons with the Cincinnati Bengals. Terms of the contract were not disclosed. I'm Stiz. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. More Rich Keefe Show, including Grab Bag, coming up.
Remember, you can listen to WEEI on your smart speaker.
Just say, play 93.7 WEEI.
Now, more of the Rich Keefe Show on WEEI.
Back here on the Rich Keefe Show with Fitzy, WEEI, and it's a full tang Monday night. We have Red Sox baseball tomorrow and Wednesday. Early start time, 6:10 first pitch. Well, I'll have your pregame coverage at 5:10. And then Thursday, it's the day we've all been waiting for, Fitzy. We've had the countdown clock up in here since like 50-something days. I think this is when this countdown clock came up.
It's the day that I never thought would come.
Thursday.
Really never thought we would actually get here. And
we're here.
It's happening now. My brother is going out to Detroit Wednesday with a buddy of his who's a Detroit Lions fan. He's hosting him there for a couple days just to go take in the sights and sounds. And this particular friend from Detroit, Joel, said Detroit is so fired up and they've done so much infrastructure work and renovating downtown. They're expecting 300,000 people at and around the draft Thursday and Friday.
Holy smokes. And what's crazy is the Lions normally have a really high pick because normally their team stinks, but their team's good now, so they don't pick until 29th. So it's going to wait around
a while. And I full well expect the Lions to be right back in it again this year as well.
Yeah, oh, definitely. You see those M&M previews with the commissioner for the draft?
No, I haven't seen those yet.
Yeah, everybody loves M&M, so I don't like...
Was there another one?
No. But oh, there was just the one, right?
Okay, yeah.
Where basically Goodell's like, welcome to the D, and then he's like, you can just say Detroit. So like Eminem comes across pretty well, but it's like I don't like him side to side with the commissioner.
I haven't seen him since that famous photo that went viral back in January of him double flipping off all the San Francisco 49ers fans from his box at the game at the NFC Championship.
Because we missed out on an Eminem Taylor Swift Super Bowl. We were that close.
I wanted Lions Chiefs. I wanted the full circle closure. Like
that would have been great.
That would have been just dynamite.
That would have been great. Well, we might have to wait another year. In the meantime,
it's time for Grab Bag. It's time for Grab Bag.
All right, let's get you the latest. Bruins Maple Leafs still tied at 2 with 11.5 to go in the third period. Pasternak's anytime goal already hit for Fitzy. We're now waiting for Stiz's first to 3 goals. At least you know there will be a third goal. I can promise you a third goal in this one.
That's right. Mm. Although OT is excluded from the bet. So it's only after 3 periods. Yeah.
Oh, man. So you get 11 minutes
That's
for
right.
the Bees to score.
That's right.
All right. It's a Linus Ullmark game. So we'll see. We'll see what the final grades are on Linus, if he'll be in for game 4 or not. But again, 2-2.
Can I check in
Please.
For the show right now?
Please do.
He has stopped 28 of 30 shots for a .933 save percentage thus far.
All right. And I know the second goal he allowed was on the power play. John Tavares with a nice snipe there. So I don't know how Jim Montgomery and the rest of the coaching staff feel about his performance, but I would assume Swayman on, Wednesday night for game three.
It's time for Grab Bag.
All right, we have three NBA playoff games tonight. Cavaliers lead the Magic 91-78 with under 3 minutes to play in the game. Cavs trying to take a 2-0 series lead.
Looks like you're going to hit that. Come on.
Shit. 5.5 I had the Cavs, so we'll see. It could come down to like some garbage backdoor cover three from the Magic, but we'll see. The Knicks lead the Sixers 79-74 after three.
I heard from some friends that texted during the break that that is a very entertaining watch.
Joel Embiid, 29 points, 10 rebounds.
On one leg.
With a whole and with one quarter to go. And Knicks trying to take a 2-0 series lead. And the late game tonight is Nuggets-Lakers with Denver up 1-0. So that's what you're looking at there. Of course, the Celtics come back on Wednesday night for their game two.
And here comes the grab bag. Grab, grab bag, 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 grab, grab bag.
Well, it looks like the Atlanta Falcons tampering with Kirk Cousins, the punishment could be significant?
Yeah, the latest reports today were that the Falcons, who were seemingly well in touch with or stories were circulating for quite a while, well before the legal tampering period, it seems like they are going to get the hammer dropped on them, and it's not just going to be like $100,000 or $500,000. This could be a precedent setter to try to warn teams to stay within the parameters of the defined legal tampering period, not reach out to someone a week before, screw around. They may get like big money and multiple picks.
Maybe Belichick's fortunate not to take that job. Plus, he would have gotten blamed for it, even though nothing.
Oh, 100%. Ah, bad there.
Bill was on there. Bill knew he was going there.
It's a perfect landing spot for him.
Oh, my God. It's
Grab Bag? Newest hashtag dork podcast is out. It is video game TV shows. It seems
Ooh,
like.
Ooh, I think you guys really were into the Fallout, huh?
Loved Fallout.
So good.
Loved Fallout.
Okay, for anyone like myself,
yes.
Never played it, doesn't know much about it, can you give me the 10-second
Yeah, pitch, it's post-apocalyptic in the future kind of thing.
I was wondering that, Keith. So it's funny, because Nick clearly hasn't played the video game.
Yep.
And I was wondering, would someone who hasn't played the video game find it as compelling and enjoyable as I have?
I think yes, because yeah. I didn't play as much as, like, Davey, my co-host on Dork, or you. Like, I didn't, like, 100% the games and play all. There's a bunch of games.
Yeah.
I played, like, Fallout 3 and Fallout 4, like, a little bit. I don't think I even beat either game. So even some of the Easter eggs that were there, like, I missed out
on. You didn't know. Yeah.
I mean, I knew some, didn't know all of them. I think it's a super good story, and the characters are great.
Yeah.
And, like, Walton Goggins having a lead role is awesome.
Phenomenal. Nick, you should check it out. I'd love to know your opinion.
I was just going
to
say, Stanley, is this the kind of show where the game ignorant like myself
yes.
would actually walk into it knowing nothing and still just enjoy it on the surface?
You watched The Last of Us, right?
Sure did.
Did you play that game?
Sure didn't.
So there you go. Well, I mean, I think you could.
Yeah.
Like, those are the two. So I think Hollywood's kind of hit it where they tried to make a lot of video games into movies, and almost all of those failed.
Uncharted.
They weren't great as movies. Or even when, like, back in the day, they would try, like, Silent Hill and, like,
Resident Evil,
I guess, was okay. I like Mortal
Kombat.
Of
sequels, yeah.
Mortal Kombat was like a campy kind of fun movie.
I like the original crappy Mortal Kombat.
That was
yeah,
good.
I kind of did too.
No,
yeah.
That was good. But then you're like the Super Mario Brothers movie. Remember that one?
Oh my God, that's right.
So, wait, the one with Bob Hoskins? Like,
yes.
let's cast
Bob
one
Hoskins.
Of England's finest actors
yep.
as a stereotypically Italian
yep.
goofball plumber.
And then they did Doom.
And then John Leguizamo as his brother.
Yeah. Perfect casting. No, but then they tried Doom. Like, they tried a bunch of these, and they didn't work. And then now they've gone to more TV shows. And between Fallout and The Last of Us, Halo's getting kind of mixed reviews. I know some people that love it, some people that it's not for them.
I didn't love it.
You didn't love Halo?
Okay. I broke my own rule. I always give everything at least two up to three episodes.
You did one and done.
Yeah, I probably should go back. But, like, at this point now, like, the bookshelf behind me, which has a backlog of 20 books that I need to read, is almost about to be dwarfed by the backlog of TV shows that I all have bookmarked, like,
oh, yeah,
recommendations from you. And I mean, I haven't even started freaking Shogun yet, which is a crime against humanity.
That wraps up this week. Finale this week.
That might be my favorite show of the year. I know it's early,
yeah, it
but
That'll be our Dork podcast this upcoming week. We'll do Shogun. Also, I went back and watched Twisted Metal. Speaking of video game shows,
ooh, how was that?
Fun,
really?
Fun as heck. That's more. I think Davey's words. It's a romp. So Last of Us,
good romp.
Last of Us, and Fallout are shows of the year candidates. Twisted Metal is just like a fun go. I really enjoyed Twisted Metal.
Yeah. But, what about in terms of video game movies and TV shows? Where do you rank Street Fighter, the movie with Jean-Claude Van Damme?
Another one, like, horrible. Awful. I thought, like, Mortal Street Kombat was fun. Fighter. Street Fighter was trash. Like,
I forgot about Jean-Claude
yeah.
Van
it was,
Damme.
How about
Street
the
Fighter.
Fact?
Trash.
The legend of an Oscar-winning actor, Raul Julia, yeah. His final movie is M. Bison.
M. Bison.
Jeez.
So bad. Yeah, no, that's a good one.
Grab bag.
All right. The Tom Brady roast is scheduled for May 5th. I really couldn't have less interest in this, but I'm sure it'll be a good opportunity.
I wonder how far are people going to go with that, do you wonder? It's going to be live. Kevin Hart is the MC. There'll be a bunch of famous roast comics and whatnot involved.
Yeah. Looks like Austin Matthews, who had 69 goals, nice, in the regular season, just put the Leafs up 3-2. Ooh, looks like he got behind McAvoy. That was there's really nothing Ullmark could do on that one. That was are you watching this right now, Fitzy? That was, he caught it with his mitt like a wide receiver, threw it down behind the defense, and then there was nobody in front. Like, I can't put that one on Ullmark. I mean, that's the best goal scorer in the league with nobody in front of him.
Yeah, what are you going to do?
3-2 Leafs. Oh, boy. 8 minutes to go in the game.
There goes your bet, Stan.
Yep. And now I'm even more upset that they started Ullmark.
Yeah. That's true. Well, hey, listen.
I mean, there's nothing you can do on the last two.
You were
The Leafs have been in control of this game now for a period and a half.
You stick with the momentum.
Yeah. Yep, Jim Montgomery, I believe if the final score here, or if this holds, he may be second-guessed.
There could be some scrutinization. But yeah, the Brady Roast, it's Sunday, May 5th, 8 o'clock. It's not going to be a comedy special that you can start watching on Netflix. It's going to be live.
That's weird. Because I feel like most roasts, like the Comedy Central has done, are probably very edited. Right? Like
because
they only leave the good jokes. Yeah, there's a lot of bad stuff. Like how much,
and also like sometimes there's like really edgy ish that is said.
Yeah,
and like there should be too. It's Tom freaking Brady. It's not like he doesn't have the broadside of multiple barns that you can make fun of, for God's sake.
How much time are they going to give Gronk? Because I feel like that could just be like a rambling thing.
I have heard. Okay, I think I've ever shared this story here. A stand up who worked. He either was either the opener or helped write jokes for Gronk. No, he performed when Gronk did comedy at the Comedy Showcase, like the Showcase Live place at Gillette. They had to retape. Remember when he had his famous stand-up special years ago on Showtime, like Lenny Clark performed? And like,
yeah,
it was
yeah,
like
yeah.
Gronk's Comedy All-Stars.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
this guy
yeah.
Told, they had yeah. to like retape Gronk's whole part because the first 10 minutes because it was just such an absolute,
yeah, like, absolute you can't use any of this.
Automotive show wreck.
Yeah, I don't know, because, I mean, you could definitely, there's some stuff you could really dig into, so I don't know how like lighthearted they want to make it. But
how many comedians talk about how, you know, Brady smooching his kids?
There's that. I mean, just the whole Guerrero thing. You could go down a whole path with that, mm-hmm. You know.
How many times will Giselle and the judo instructor get mentioned?
Yep. I would think that's ripe for the picking. Mm-hmm. So maybe there is reason to watch.
I think it'll be okay.
My calculations are correct. When this baby hits 88 miles per hour, you're going to see some serious
grab bag.
The Kansas City Chiefs have extended Andy Reid. Now, it doesn't say for how many years, but Andy Reid on the top of his game right now. Mm-hmm. And you just wonder how many more wins in Super Bowls. And for everybody talking about how close Bill Belichick is to the wins record, Andy Reid's not that far behind. And if he just signs this extension and he's in that phase like Belichick was with Brady, roll out of bed, you get 12 wins.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Andy Reid's not
he's
far
just
off.
Entered it, actually, because what is Mahomes, 27, 28?
Yeah, I think, yeah, right. So, I mean, he's got, he'll probably retire as the all-time winningest coach, won't he?
He's got a very, very good chance of doing so. And I believe Andy Reid is 65. So let's just say he got extended for four more years. Four more years. He's got a very good chance of catching up.
Yeah.
By the time he reaches the age or close to it that Belichick left the Patriots, yeah, he might get there, man.
Plus, they have the extra game now every season, and there's one less bye. So even if they have a really good year and they end up being the two seed, that's an extra win. That's like two more wins per season that you have an opportunity for,
right?
Compared to other years. Yeah, he's not. So I don't. This is just his regular season wins. He's at 258. Shula is at 328. But then there's a bunch of. So he's already fourth all time. Reed is behind Belichick and Halas. So
I don't think it would mean as much. Sure, I can imagine Andy Reid would tell you, like, oh, sure, it'd be an honor to get that. But, like, I don't think he's as focused or obsessed with it as Belichick is.
Yeah, you're probably right. I would agree with that.
You are part of the Rebel Alliance and a
grab bag.
Take it away.
New movie trailer today for Deadpool and Wolverine. It comes out in July. At first, I wasn't going to watch it because I'm like, I'm already sold on this movie. I can't wait to see it. I hate spoilers, so I'm like, do I need to even watch any of this? But I'm like, you know what? We can talk about it on the air for a minute. So I will watch it. Sat down, watched it. And I don't say this with, like, to be, like, hot take Harry. I think this has the chance to be the greatest movie of all time.
I knew you were going to say something.
It looks insane. It looks so good.
Oh, I've already called it. I will, if a sports book will let me bet on it, this will be the biggest movie of the year, hands down.
Oh, without a doubt. Because all the MCU people are dying for a good movie and dying to go back to it.
My son, my older boy, the 11-year-old Thomas, just finally watched Endgame our flight to and from Florida last week.
Oh, what do you think?
He could not. He stopped the movie and turned to me. The way he pumped his fists when Captain America caught Mjolnir, Mjolnir, and then just said, he's like, Dad, when Captain America said Avengers assemble after he caught the hammer, he's chills. Like, how could you not smile? That's the coolest moment I've ever seen.
That was amazing. And I think they've had...
I was like, wait till you see Captain Marvel.
I think they've had some good movies along the way. Like, everyone's like, oh, like, it sucked since then. I disagree. I think Guardians 3 was good. I thought Spider-Man 3 was good. Spider-Man No Way Home. I thought there were good ones, but this is next level because people love
this
the Deadpool
movie's
movies.
This movie's going to be insane.
People love Hugh Jackman's Wolverine. They loved Logan, and now you're tying this together, and it's going to be crazy enough to sort of like reset things where the stuff that's worked, we'll kind of keep that. That's where we're going. The stuff that didn't, we're either going to ignore it or make a joke about it because it's Deadpool. And there's going to be crazy action, crazy violence. It's going to be funny. I'm pumped.
And don't they do most of his voiceover in post so they can figure out what they need to? They don't have a lot of it scripted on set so that they can actually say funny things later on so they can reference things that have happened in the real world.
Yeah.
Like you said, they can make fun of Marvel stuff. Yes, again, still sticking with my prediction, biggest movie of the year.
Yeah.
But also, last week when we were in Disney, I was thinking of you for a minute because we were at Epcot and we rode the Guardians of the Galaxy coaster.
I heard that's the best. Two of my buddies just went like a month ago, not together, but they happened to both be in Florida with their families. And they were like, the Guardians ride's the best ride.
Gah. Dude.
Yeah.
You got to go.
I got to go.
I mean, hundreds of millions of dollars was spent on this ride. It is massive. This thing is the wildest ride I've been on times 10.
Holy smokes.
Worth the trip alone.
Okay.
That they may take our lives, but they'll never take.
Grab bag.
Aaron Boone was ejected from a baseball game, and it might be one of the greatest ejections in the history of sport. And we have some audio.
You know what? We're not going to need a John Boy breakdown of that one. We got a very clear, there you go. And now Aaron's saying, I didn't say anything. Aaron's saying, hold on a second. I didn't say a word.
I did not say anything, Hunter. So it sounds like a standard ejection, and maybe he said, he said. So what happened was early on, like five pitches into the game, the umpire warned Aaron Boone, like, don't say anything to me. Don't say anything.
The ump had a chip on his shoulder.
Right, like, give me a break. Like, you can't say anything. So then the fan sitting directly behind Aaron Boone's seat in the dugout, he yelled something at the umpire. The umpire turns and fires Aaron Boone out of the game. There's like video evidence of it. Boone didn't say a word. A fan did, and the umpire still threw Aaron Boone out of the game.
Outstanding. They even had, there's video you can watch on John Boy Media in slow-mo of the guy, because it was a getaway game, very empty Yankee Stadium.
Yeah, that's why you could hear
everyone yelling.
Yeah.
There's slow-mo video watching some guy like put his hand next to his mouth so he can do the human megaphone and just yell at the ump, and the ump turns around. Aaron Boone says nothing.
Nothing. Says nothing.
Savages in the box.
Fantastic.
Hey, you want to see crazy? I'll tell you.
Now, that's a real badge. I'm a real cop, and this is a real
grab bag.
All right, we still have a few more stories, so we will conclude grab bag and give you our final thoughts coming up next here on WEEI.
If you missed any of our Patriots Monday and Friday interviews, go back and listen on the podcast anytime. Just subscribe to The Rich Keefe Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Now, more of The Rich Keefe Show
on WEEI.
Back here on The Rich Keefe Show with Fitzy, WEEI. A couple of other grab bag items here. A couple quarterback news. Zach Wilson finds a new home. Going to the Denver Broncos for a pick swap.
Was it Wilson in a seventh went to Denver and the Jetropolitans got a sixth back?
Yep. All right.
So attention all the hot moms of Denver and the greater downtown Denver area.
That's right. All those guys, that 2021 draft class, Mac Jones got you a sixth, Justin Fields got you a sixth, Zach Wilson got you kind of a sixth. You had to give up a seventh in order to get it. Not great. Trey Lance, didn't Trey Lance go for like a four a year ago?
He did to Dallas.
He got more for Trey Lance than Fields and Mac.
What a brutal class. Trevor Lawrence, by the way, his starting record is 20-30.
Yeah. He hasn't been great, but I'd still take him.
Because I was looking at something on Twitter about how, like, you know, J.J. McCarthy all time is 61-3 through high school and college. Like, the kid never loses. Hence that whole, like, big winner thing.
Yeah. Well, not a winner over at the TD Garden tonight. Your Boston Bruins. We have a final. The Toronto Maple Leafs with a 3-2 victory have now evened the series with the Bees at a game apiece. Game 3 Wednesday night in Toronto. So tonight was a Linus Ullmark night.
Yep.
Now, we have one eye on the game because we're, you know, trying to do a show as well. I don't think Linus played that poorly. Like, we'll see what people say coming out of the game.
He's an easy scapegoat, Rich.
He's an easy scapegoat. Jim Montgomery is an easy scapegoat, as is Linus Ullmark. But tell me, would Swayman have made all those saves? Swayman would have stuffed Austin Matthews on a breakaway?
No.
Charlie McAvoy, who's one of your best players, let Austin Matthews get behind him. Great pass to Matthews, was up in the air. He grabbed it with his glove, put it down, had nobody between he and Ullmark, did like a double move, scored. That guy scored 69 goals in the regular season. He scored the game winner. They also had a power play goal for their second goal. John Tavares, also a pretty good player, and it was a pretty good shot. So I know three goals and a loss looks really bad, just like on the surface for a goalie. But I think he made a number of really good saves tonight, too. I think Ullmark was actually pretty solid tonight.
But that, in rotation, now you have to go back to Swayman for game three.
Yep.
And two, you'll have people clamoring for him just because of the loss. Now, the three goals allowed goes against his playoff goals allowed average in Boston as well. Guy had in the mid-30s for saves tonight.
Yeah, I think he finished with 30.
How about start a conversation about the fact that the Bruins offense went to sleep and over the final two periods. Now, whether that was clamped down defense, you want to say, from Toronto, or just Bruins missing their mark. Like, they attempted fewer than 30 shots on the night as well, so it's not like Samsonov had to stand on his head, per se, compared
to
what was expected of Ullmark. It's a shame. You had to, like, Toronto played their game tonight. This is Toronto at their best.
Yeah, and they got Matthews going because I think a lot of it's going to come on to Austin Matthews as one of those guys who is a great regular season performer and so far has not been a great, you know, get on my back, lead you in the postseason.
But Tavares and Matthews scoring and beating you at home.
Getting like, them going.
Those are two badasses. Like, that's
yep.
game. Man, you're going to need an effort and a half from Swayman on, is game three Thursday?
I think it's Wednesday, right? Or no, is it Thursday? Did they give them the extra day? Like the No, it's Wednesday.
Because game four is Saturday night.
Right. So they did. For some reason, there's a longer gap between three and four. So game three is Wednesday. Game four is Saturday.
Maybe they avoided nights one and two of the NFL draft.
It'd be smart. I know a lot
and
of.
Game two of the Celtics is Wednesday night, too, right?
Yeah. So both Celtics
Wednesday's
and.
Wednesday's a biggie.
Big night. And Sox. Don't forget Sox Guardians.
How could I?
You shouldn't. So the Bruins will be back at home on Tuesday, the 30th. That'll be their next home game. And there'll definitely be a game five. There's no sweep in this series.
At least go five.
So now, I mean, if Swayman plays out of his mind and they win, or I wonder, how about this for a scenario? If Swayman plays okay, maybe gives up a soft goal, gives up a good goal, but they win 3-2. Are people just like, hey, I'm going with the guy who won, or are you going with the guy who actually like played really well?
If Swayman gets the win,
does he come back in game
five?
There
will be a massive outcry.
Or four, I mean. Yeah. If he just wins.
Game four.
Man.
People are kind of like traumatized by how poorly Ullmark played in two postseasons.
Yeah, no, he was horrible last year, but he was also hurt and they kept playing him. It's like, what are you doing?
Now, if I'm not mistaken, isn't John Lyons coming up with a little WEEI late night to do a little post-game action?
That's right.
Oh, we're getting a thumbs up in the back on that. That's right. Very good. So weigh in here. You guys can load it up for him, 617-779-7937. We'll be doing that a lot throughout the playoffs, whether it be a Bruins game or a Celtics game. Thanks for the reminder, Fitzy. You'll get some more sweet action. Not going until midnight tonight? Thumbs up on that? All right, very good.
Hey, whatever we did, should we also funnel him everything that we didn't get to in grab bag? Because I feel like we have a second entire grab bag still.
That's true. We probably should have started grab bag at like 8:20. That's kind of on. That's on us.
Yeah, but we had a Kiefer Madness with a guy cooking meat in a shopping cart with a sword.
That's true. He was using a sword as like a shish kebab, as the lady said. So that's a good point. Well, Fitz, that's all the time we have in this Full Tank program. We have Red Sox the next couple of nights, and then you're going to be a part of the Draft Spectacular, 6 to midnight on Thursday. It is finally here. You're going to be our correspondent down at Gillette Stadium talking to all the season ticket holders and everybody else. So until then, good sir, always a pleasure.
Absolutely, Rich. It's the stuff dreams are made of.
All right, Stiz, good job as always. You'll be back on, you and me, for the pregame for the Red Sox tomorrow. Early start time of 5:10, first pitch at 6:10. But good news, more local programming. Stay tuned for John Lyons right here on WEEI, talking Bruins, Celtics, and, of course, NFL draft. All right, until then, we will talk to you tomorrow at 5:10.
There's only one left thing to say.
Any of our Patriots Monday and Friday interviews, go back and listen on the podcast anytime. Just subscribe to the Rich Keefe Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Now, more of the Rich Keefe Show
on WEEI.
Back here on the Rich Keefe Show with Fitzy WEEI. A couple of other grab bag items here. A couple quarterback news. Zach Wilson finds a new home. Going to the Denver Broncos for a pick swap.
Was it Wilson in a seventh went to Denver and the Jetropolitans got a sixth back?
Yep.
All right. So attention all the hot moms of Denver and the greater downtown Denver area.
That's right. All those guys, that 2021 draft class, Mac Jones got you a sixth, Justin Fields got you a sixth, Zach Wilson got you kind of a sixth. You had to give up a seventh in order to get it. Not great. Didn't Trey Lance go for like a four a year ago?
He did to Dallas.
He got more for Trey Lance than Fields and Mac.
What a brutal class. Trevor Lawrence, by the way, his starting record is 20-30.
Yeah. He hasn't been great, but I'd still take him.
Because I was looking at something on Twitter about how, like, you know, J.J. McCarthy all time is 61-3 through high school and college. Like, the kid never loses. Hence that whole, like, big winner thing.
Yeah. Well, not a winner over at the TD Garden tonight. Your Boston Bruins. We have a final. The Toronto Maple Leafs with a 3-2 victory have now evened the series with the Bees at a game apiece. Game 3 Wednesday night in Toronto. So tonight was a Linus Ullmark night.
Yep.
Now, we have one eye on the game because we're trying to do a show as well. I don't think Linus played that poorly. Like, we'll see what people say coming out of the game.
He's an easy scapegoat, Rich.
He's an easy scapegoat. Jim Montgomery is an easy scapegoat, as is Linus Ullmark. But tell me, would Swayman have made all those saves? Swayman would have stuffed Austin Matthews on a breakaway?
No.
Charlie McAvoy, who's one of your best players, let Austin Matthews get behind him. Great pass to Matthews, was up in the air. He grabbed it with his glove, put it down, had nobody between he and Ullmark, did like a double move, scored. That guy scored 69 goals in the regular season. He scored the game winner. They also had a power play goal for their second goal. John Tavares, also a pretty good player, and it was a pretty good shot. So I know 3 goals and a loss looks really bad, just like on the surface for a goalie, but I think he made a number of really good saves tonight too. I think Ullmark was actually pretty solid tonight.
But that, in rotation, now you have to go back to Swayman for game 3.
Yep.
And 2, you'll have people clamoring for him just because of the loss. Now, the 3 goals allowed goes against his playoff goals allowed average in Boston as well. Guy had in the mid-30s for saves tonight.
Yeah, I think he finished with 30.
How about start a conversation about the fact that the Bruins offense went to sleep and over the final 2 periods. Now, whether that was clamped down defense, you want to say, from Toronto, or just Bruins missing their mark, like, they attempted fewer than 30 shots on the night as well. So it's not like Samsonov had to stand on his head, per se, compared
to
what was expected of Ullmark. It's a shame. You had to, Toronto played their game tonight. This is Toronto at their best.
Yeah, and they got Matthews going, because I think a lot of it's going to come on to Austin Matthews as one of those guys who is a great regular season performer and so far has not been a great, get on my back, lead you in the postseason.
But Tavares and Matthews scoring and beating you at home.
Getting them going.
Those are two badasses. Game, man, you're going to need an effort and a half from Swayman on, is game 3 Thursday?
I think it's Wednesday, right? Or no, is it Thursday? Did they give them the extra day? No, it's Wednesday.
Because game 4 is Saturday night.
Right. So they did. For some reason, there's a longer gap between 3 and 4. So game 3 is Wednesday. Game 4 is Saturday.
Maybe they avoided nights 1 and 2 of the NFL draft.
It'd be smart. I know a lot
and
of.
Game 2 of the Celtics is Wednesday night, too, right?
Yeah. So both Celtics
and Wednesday's a biggie.
Big night. And Sox. Don't forget Sox Guardians.
How could I?
You shouldn't. So the Bruins will be back at home on Tuesday, the 30th. That'll be their next home game. And there'll definitely be a game 5. There's no sweep in this series.
At least go 5.
So now, if Swayman plays out of his mind and they win, or I wonder, how about this for a scenario? If Swayman plays okay, maybe gives up a soft goal, gives up a good goal, but they win 3-2. Are people just like, hey, I'm going with the guy who won, or are you going with the guy who actually played really well?
If Swayman gets the win,
does he come back in game 5?
There will be a massive outcry.
Or 4, I mean. Yeah, if he just wins.
Game 4.
Man.
People are kind of traumatized by how poorly Ullmark played in 2 postseasons.
Yeah, no, he was horrible last year, but he was also hurt and they kept playing him. It's what are you doing?
Now, if I'm not mistaken, isn't John Lyons coming up with a little WEEI late night to do a little post-game action?
That's right.
Oh, we're getting a thumbs up in the back on that.
That's right.
Very good. So weigh in here. You guys can load it up for him. 617-779-7937. We'll be doing that a lot throughout the playoffs, whether it be a Bruins game or a Celtics game. Thanks for the reminder, Fitzy. You'll get some more sweet action. Is that going until midnight tonight? Thumbs up on that? All right. Very good.
Hey, whatever we did, should we also funnel him everything that we didn't get to in grab bag? Because I feel like we have a second entire grab bag.
That's true. We probably should have started grab bag at 8:20. That's kind of on. That's on us.
Yeah, but we had a Kiefer Madness with a guy cooking meat in a shopping cart with a sword.
That's true. He's using a sword as like a shish kebab, as the lady said. So that's a good point. Well, Fitz, that's all the time we have on this Full Tank program. We have Red Sox the next couple of nights, and then you're going to be a part of the Draft Spectacular, 6 to midnight on Thursday. It is finally here. You're going to be our correspondent down at Gillette Stadium, talking to all the season ticket holders and everybody else. So until then, good sir, always a pleasure.
Absolutely, Rich. It's the stuff dreams are made of.
All right, Stiz, good job as always. You'll be back on, you and me, for the pregame for the Red Sox tomorrow. Early start time of 5:10, first pitch at 6:10. But good news, more local programming. Stay tuned for John Lyons right here on WEEI, talking Bruins, Celtics, and, of course, NFL draft. All right, until then, we will talk to you tomorrow at 5:10.
There's only one left thing to say.